Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
G'day, Richo.
G'day, mate. I'm having my own intro and my own music. It makes me feel important. Thank you very much.
Well, you are important.
No, I used to be, mate. There was a time. There was a time, but not anymore.
You're still important to us. Can I say, I spoke about you on today's Friday, God, things happen so quickly around here. The day that you were on the panel for Sky News, and you made the comment that you wished you had a bottle of scotch because you would be able to drown your sorrows. And everyone thought Trump was going to win. 24 hours later, you wouldn't have wanted to have any scotch, mate.
No. Things can change. It looks to me like the more they change, the more Biden looks like he's going to win. When you've got Trump, as he is right now, complaining about the mail-in votes and preparing the ground for a court challenge, it's the losers who are looking to go to the courts. The winners go to the people.
You know, Richard, there's an old saying, and I've remembered it. Someone said it to me, an old boss of mine said it to me years and years ago. And you know what it is? It's this. Winners go to lunch, losers take meetings or phone lawyers. It's true, isn't it?
It is indeed. And it's the last thing that you mentioned, the phoning the lawyers that they're doing now. I think that's sad. And I think it'll be futile when the crunch comes. I think I wrote somewhere recently that you couldn't expect Trump to be a good loser. He couldn't even be a good winner.
True.
He's just showing what his character is. He's a big sook. As you know, your parents teach you early on in life that you have to learn to accept defeat. You don't crave it. You always want to chase victory, but you can't win them all, and you have to learn to accept defeat. I don't think this bloke could do that graciously, and that's what's, I think, being demonstrated now.
Arizona hasn't been called yet. I don't know why. I mean, I went to bed last night expecting to wake up this morning with Arizona being called and basically being called for Biden, and that would have meant that he got his 270 Electoral College votes, so that makes him the next president of the United States. And surprise, surprise, at 6 o'clock when I turned the telly on, they hadn't called it. They still haven't called it. If it is that close, I would imagine at this stage that Trump would be... is Trump ever... Does he ever have any regrets? I was going to say I thought that Trump would be fairly regretful for his comments against John McCain.
Well, you think so. He ought to anyway on a human front. They were cruel and vicious. I prefer the ones who weren't captured line was an insult to every POW.
It was.
Everyone who was defending their country or thought they were and got captured, he just decried basically dismissed them all as some sort of coward. And remember, that's going from a man who never fired a shot in anger for his country. There was no way he ever got into battle fatigues and went to war. He stayed in Wall Street making money.
I saw on the TV screen about half an hour ago there's a possibility that Biden could also take out Pennsylvania. Have you got an update on that?
Yeah, there's a show. As the count progresses, Biden seems to be going up pretty well everywhere. So I don't think we should be calling results just yet, because I think there might be a few more surprises to come. It's been a funny election. We always knew it would be close, but I can't remember one this close.
Are you surprised at the increase in the number of people who actually voted in America this time around? I mean, the best has been 140 million beforehand, and this one topped over 150 million people.
I'm not surprised because I think Trump arouses passion.
Right.
Trump brings out the crowd, not necessarily all for him. I think he arouses so much indignation among people that they're driven to come out and vote against him. But also, he knows how to galvanise his supporters. He knows how to arouse their passions and get them out. So I think that combination is what's delivering the high vote. The support is desperate to keep him, and the opponent is desperate to get rid of him.
I keep having people ring me on the program here across the week that are Trump supporters, and they keep telling me all the wonderful things that Trump has done. If Trump had done all those wonderful things, he certainly failed to get that message across in his lead up to the election.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's not what you do, it's how you do it that gets all the attention. And with Trump, a lot of the reason he's struggling now is that people don't like the way he does things. They just don't like the manner and the abuse. You know, he's so dismissive of people that he doesn't like or he doesn't agree with. And a lot of people prefer a more civilised discussion than what he gives them.
Have you watched, I'm not too sure whether it's on Netflix or Stan, but have you watched Comey, the miniseries Comey?
No, I haven't.
It's really good. It's really good. Jeff Daniels plays Comey, and he's very good in the role. So it's really good. And look, you don't know how much of it's fact and how much of it's fiction, but I tell you what, you come away from that thinking Donald Trump's not a very nice person.
No, I think that's a lot of the problem. He isn't. And I think enough people in America have come to realise that. I mean, you know, he does, as I said, arouse passion for and against. And unfortunately for him, I think the against is coming out a bit stronger in this election. You can't, in the end, be as dismissive of people as he is, as often as he is, and get away with it.
He's done. I mean, is it fair to say he's increased his coalition, though, with this time around?
Oh, I think he may. Well, that's a hard one. I'm not sure I can answer that. I think he certainly tried to, but as many as he picks up, he drops off. So I think I'd say that's a work in progress for him.
Right.
Trouble is, there's no more progress.
Yeah, that's right. It's not going to be all roses for Joe Biden, though, is it?
No, it's not. Biden is going to have narrow majorities wherever he is. And when it comes to the Senate, well, the Dems will have a majority. You know what they're like. There's always somebody who wants to jump off the ship and leave the caucus over this vote or that vote. And so it's not going to be an easy ride. He doesn't have a big enough majority to get anything he wants through.
Did you see the footage the other day when he introduced his granddaughter and he introduced his dead son? This is Beau Biden.
Yeah, it's a bit sad.
It really is. Isn't it sad? I mean, you don't want to make fun of the man. I mean, but that's obviously why they kept him in the basement throughout most of the campaign.
I think they had no choice. Too often those mistakes come out. This was a terrible choice for America, really, wasn't it?
It was.
A terrible choice because I wouldn't ever tolerate somebody that weak as leading this country. And, when you look at both our Prime Minister and our opposition leader, they're strong personalities, you know, that you can imagine them governing. You just can't imagine either of these two governing.
Were you surprised about Joe Hockey's comments in the last couple of days supporting Donald Trump?
No. I mean, you know, Joe, who I think is a great fella, he is a conservative. And never forget that. I mean, yeah, no matter where you are, I don't know Keir Starmer, the new leader of the Labour Party in Britain, but I'm barracking for him. I hope he wins, because you do take an interest in other countries and you support your ideological, the person who most ideologically matches you in your views. And obviously for Joe, that was always going to be Trump.
What does a Biden win in the White House mean for relationships here between the United States and Australia? Will there be any changes, you see?
No change at all, I don't think.
Right.
He is not as big an isolationist as Trump is. So, if anything, they'd get better. But I think the Foreign Affairs Establishment never allowed Trump to get away with being isolationist. And so I don't think American foreign policy, as far as Australia is concerned, has altered, and I don't think that it will.
What do you think will alter between the relationship with the USA and China?
Well, there's more of a possibility that there can be some sort of rapprochement, which I think most people in the world would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was never going to happen under Trump. I'm not saying it will happen under Biden, but at least there's a little opening in the door where you could see maybe they could start talking again. And I think it's in the interest of the world that they do start talking again. The last thing you need is the superpowers like that being at each other's throats. That can never be good for us.
Okay, Biden takes over in the White House. It improves the relationship between the United States and China. How does that affect our relationship with China? Because at the moment, it's not looking good.
Well, I think it doesn't affect our relationship with China much at all. We've
right.
got a separate relationship with them to the United States, largely because of trade. And, you know, we have a fair degree of dependence upon them when it comes to trade. And I've been saying for years, we ought to be looking at alternate markets because the Chinese can shut the door on you very easily. It's a command economy. It's not as if people in a factory somewhere have a say in whether their goods get exported or don't. It always comes down to the Central Committee of the Communist Party. Let's not forget it's a dictatorship.
You said they could shut the doors on us. Well, there's a possibility they're going to do that today.
Very, very strong possibility. Things are not looking good. And I'm not sure the government has handled this brilliantly. But certainly, when it comes to rhetoric, you've got to be awfully careful about rattling the bars of the cage of the Chinese. You've got to make your points about human rights. A democracy like Australia must do that, in my view. Must. But you do realise it comes with the possibility of penalties. And that means you've got to be very careful about the language that you use.
Xi Jinping said yesterday at this China International Import Expo, it is ill-advised to pursue unilateral dominance or choose to hurt others' interests, which diminishes one's own interests. What do you read into that, or is it just BS?
I think you shouldn't bother trying to read
anything
too much into anything
yeah,
he says.
Right.
Because you've got to remember, they can change course 180 degrees in a minute. There's no pattern here. And so I don't look through the entrails of this and seek wisdom, because I think you'll more than likely be having a follow-on search.
Why do you think no one's answering Simon Birmingham's calls? Have they given up on Australia's relationship?
Yeah, I think that's just a we'll show you for a while. I think it's a calculated snub. They've done it to other nations before. They're doing it to us. Won't last forever. It will last as long as they think it needs to last to make their point.
Right. And in the meantime, many farmers, and when you look at everything that's going to be affected if they make this decision today, you know, vignerons, winemakers, where do you stop?
Yeah,
it's just going to affect so many people.
It has such a big impact on the Australian economy in so many sectors. And so we need them. And, of course, the Chinese know that. They know we need them. And so they can play games like this because they can survive without us. We can't survive without them.
You can't do this overnight, but can we, over a period of time, diversify and replace that market?
Well, we have to try and diversify as much of it as we can. Whether we can do all of it, I don't know. But we have to try and get as much as we can out of it. And if I If I was running the show at the moment, I'd really be up there knocking on the doors in Beijing all the time, even when they're close to us.
Right.
I'd be showing keenness, because there's no point in pride dictating it to us here. Pride doesn't pay the bills.
Do you think Scott Morrison, with his approach, made a mistake?
I think he's gone a little bit too hard, yeah. I wouldn't say it's a massive error, but I think it is an error. And I think, actually, judging by the way they're going on at the moment, I think they probably realise they've gone a bit too far,
right,
our government, and I think they're doing all they can through back channel to try and repair it.
News out today, your good mate, tongue-in-cheek, Clive Palmer's lost his High Court appeal in WA, and the judge said, sorry, Clive, but you've got to pay everyone's way as well. So it's cost him a fortune.
Yeah, look, he's got a fortune, and he fritters it away on these silly court cases. He loses it all the time. And he's an incredibly bad litigant, and one wonders why he goes to court so much. It seems to me if you never win, there's not much point in doing it.
The RBA this week on Melbourne Cup Day. Hey, wasn't that strange? What a weird Melbourne Cup Day it was this week.
What a weird... You know, having a Melbourne Cup without people is impossible to believe, isn't it?
Did you see the two photos? It was somewhere on social media last year with hundreds of thousands of people there, and then there was just this year with nobody.
Yeah, I mean, it does take, chock-a-block 100,000 people. And to have none, a handful of people, is just so sad for the race that stops the nation.
I just thought that not allowing owners of the horses to turn up at Melbourne was a silly decision.
Yeah, I think they went overboard, you've got to have some atmosphere. You sort of owe Australia some atmosphere to go with the hype. And we didn't have it this year.
No, we didn't. On Tuesday, the same day the RBA did as everybody was tipping, and they slashed the official cash rate to 0.1%. They've said they're going to leave it that way until 2024. It's not a good situation to be in, is it?
No, basically, you're almost having to pay people to take money and get things underway. It just means that investment has stopped completely in Australia. It's just hit a dead end and is going nowhere. And for all of us, every single one of us, that's going to amount to big problems. I think if the Morrison government has one job to do, it's to get investment going again. Now, it's not easy, and I'm not saying that Albo would do it easier, because it's a really tough job, but it has to be done.
Do you think that Gladys Berejiklian's decision that was announced in the last 24 hours to entice businesses into New South Wales by offering things like, if you've got a business with more than 30 employees, you won't be paying any payroll tax for the next 4 years, do you think that's going to work?
Well, we're not the only ones doing it. Bribery works, provided you're the biggest briber.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, where does that end? It's a really bad thing for the economy, but necessary for Berejiklian, and I'm not going to bag her for it.
All right, Richo, you were surprised, no doubt, at the result on Wednesday night?
I don't think so. Surprise wouldn't wouldn't cover it. I thought New South Wales played very poorly.
Yeah,
very poor.
Yeah, they did. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. It's a strange time, isn't it? I mean, the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, and then the following day you've got State of Origin, and then rather than having a couple of weeks break, it's next Wednesday, it's the second game, and then the Wednesday after, it's the third game.
Yeah, I mean, normally spread over months. This week a fortnight, and you've got three games. So it's a very different thing, but nonetheless, the Blues have got to pick up. Otherwise, I'm going to keep losing money.
Yeah, speaking of money, isn't it amazing that there's been more money spent on this US election than if you add up all the money spent in Australia on the AFL final, the NRL final, the Melbourne Cup and State of Origin? There's more money being spent on the US election.
bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. The other survey you may have seen, because you read all the papers, did you see the survey that came out, I think it was yesterday, they surveyed 1,300 people in Australia, and 55% of people surveyed said, this is Australians, 55% of Australians surveyed said they were stressed, feeling stressed, or experiencing stressful feelings with the results of the US election.
Yeah, I just think they should stop being sooks. I mean, what a ridiculous thing to be.
It is, isn't it?
But we, you've just got to, you know, when you've got something over which you have absolutely no say and no control, you don't get stressed over them. There's no point. You can't affect the result. But in any event, no matter who wins in America, life will go on here.
And aren't we lucky we live here?
Too right we are. We've always been that.
You look at what's going on in America this week and continues to go on, and you just say, thank God we live here in Australia.
Absolutely.
Isn't that true? And you know something? I mean, come election time, commentators, you know, and I'm probably a little guilty of myself, you get on air and you pontificate about our election process. God, ours is a 10 compared to America, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It really is.
Absolutely. I mean, America's system, in my view, has got some terribly basic flaws. And it's the idea that the president can often have a house against him is just an awful way to do business. It's sloppy, and it's just too unpredictable. And I think what voters like is predictability. They like to be assured that no rapid, huge change is going to occur.
Yeah, true. All right, mate, I'll let you go. You've been generous with your time as always. Thank you so much for it. We always enjoy chatting with you, and we'll catch up with you hopefully next week.
Go on, you mate. I'll be there.
Thanks, Richo. Have a good weekend, mate.
Bye-bye.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Graham Richardson.